The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Nedarim, Daf Samich Zayin. Today's daf is being studied. Lenushmat Mor Zekani Rabbi Yosef Ben Sara, Lenushmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenichem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Refuah Shelema, Eliyahu Ben Ivet, Shlomo Ben Miriam, Sara Bat Rachel, Sara Bat Rachel. Starting from the new Mishnah, the 10th Perek of Masechet Nedarim. Just to give a little introduction, the terminologies. We learned in Masechet Ketubot that there is different stages of a girl's maturity. Till, let's say, she's 12 years old, she's considered a ketana. She's considered a minor. Once she gets to 12 years old, between 12 and 6 months, she's considered a ne'ara. It's a machloket, actually, the Rosh and the Rambam. The Rosh says, once she gets to 12 months and has simmanim, she has signs of maturation, se'arot, so that she's considered a ne'ara. Rambam says, no, it's an automatic. Once she gets to 12 years old, she's considered a ne'ara. At 12 and 6 months, she matures again to the stage that's called a bogeret. Okay, bogeret is like an adult. Our Mishnah discusses the status of a ne'ara that is engaged. She's me'orasa. Now, normally, if a lady is not engaged, a girl, her father has the ability to nullify her nedarim. It means on the day that the father hears it, if he does not want the nedar to be hal, he's just able to mefer, and it's mufar. However, once she gets engaged, so now she has somebody else, da'at acharin, that's over her. She has her potential husband. So therefore, the Mishnah is going to teach us that when she's ne'ara me'orasa, and she makes nedarim, or for that matter, even nedarim that are on her before she became engaged, and now she becomes engaged, so now you need a joint effort to nullify. You need the father, because she really doesn't leave the father's domain yet, she's only engaged. And you also need the husband now, the potential husband, because now he entered possession, so to speak, over here. So therefore you need aviha uba'ala as a joint effort, not one or the other, in order to be mefer the nedarim. And that's the first line of our Mishnah. Ne'ara ha'morasa, aviha uba'ala mefirin nedareha. And the Ran over here gives us a lot of information. First Ran, Na'ara me'orasa aviha uba'ala mefirin nedareha, afilu nedarim shenadra be'oda pinuya. Okay, that's the first rule. Even the nedarim that were around when she was a pinuya, when she was single, now she got engaged. The arus mefer bekodmim rule. The arus, arus is the we call him the hatan. It's not a hatan, it's arus. He is able to be mefer nedarim even that were made before he became an arus. Bishutfute de'av, with the partnership of the father. Kedi'ita b'gemara. V'ne'ara de'nakat. Now, why did choose the case of a ne'ara? Lapuke bogeret. It's coming to exclude a bogeret. That's a girl that's 12 and 6 months. Why? She'en lehaviya v'shutba. The father already loses rights once she becomes a bogeret. She's not considered in his domain, even if she's single. Ve'eno mefer nedareha. And he cannot be mefer nedareha. Now, if she got engaged, ve'arus nameh belo shutfute de'av lo matzeh mefar. Which means a bogeret that gets engaged, the only way you'd be able to be mefer is with a partnership. And you don't have a partnership, because we said already the father doesn't have rights. Sure. So therefore, since the father doesn't have rights,
lecture then mode on.
Arus cannot do it alone. So again, a bogeret that gets engaged, her nedarim cannot be mufar, not by the father, and not by the arus. Aval, who adin named the bachir alif shana, even an 11-year-old, shenadra, or shenidra nivdeket, which means nivdekim, we check her nedarim, which is her nedarim can be valid. Don't think only a ne'aram or asa you get the combination of the father and the arus, but even a younger girl, even an 11-year-old girl that makes nedarim and she's engaged, it's aviyah ubala. The only reason why it said ne'ara is to exclude a bogeret, because a bogeret, then the aviyah ubala do not be mefer if she got engaged, because since already she's out of the the domain of the father, she's also considered that the Arus cannot make the hafara alone. Okay, so that's the principle of this perek. Now the Mishnah seems to be repetitive, because the Mishnah says, Hefera av velo hefera ba'al. Hefera ba'al velo hefera av in a mufar. If the father nullified, but the arus didn't, or the arus nullified and the father didn't, it's not mufar. Which means, again, that both of them have to be mefer. Which means you cannot have a split vote here. Both of them have to be mefer. If one of them is mefer and one of them is not, so then the nidr remains sound. Okay, now that's repetitive. We just said in the beginning of the Mishnah, that's why she needed joy different. We need the Mishnah then to be so specific. Well, if he did it without him, and he did it without him, then we'll see. That's a Gemara's question. And then the Mishnah concludes and says, Ve'en tzarich lomar shekiyem echad mehem. Now we have to discuss the inyan of kiyum. What does it mean, kiyum? Kiyum is the exact opposite of hafara. Whereas hafara is to nullify the nedir, kiyum is to uphold the nedir, which means to strengthen it, to make it stand. Right? The hakim. How does a person make a nedir? He says verbally, I'm making the nedir. And the girl makes the nedir. Yes, let it stand. Or silence can also be a form of hakama. Because on the day that the nedir is made, if nobody reacts and objects, so by the end of the day, it's considered as if there was a hakama. So the Mishnah is just saying over here that, and we don't have to say, that if one of them was mekim and one of them is mefer, that the nedir is going to stand. Which means, till now we discussed a case where one was mefer and one did nothing. Right? So therefore we say that what? It's considered not mufar, because you need a you need both of them. So answering, one was mekim and one was mefer, that the nidr is, again, sound, the nidr is hal. And the Gemara is going to explain that case also for. I mean, that's also seemingly Mishnah's repeating itself over and over. The Mishnah and the Gemara now begins. Hainu resha. That's the first question we asked. The resha toraswat ne'aram orasa aviha ubala mefiri midareya. Aviha ubala mefiri midareya. So what do you need the second part of the Mishnah to tell me? Well, if he did it, if the father did it without the husband, or the husband was mefer without the father, it's not considered mufar. You told me, you need both. Now, detema o aviha o ba'la ketani kamash ma'lan. So I would have thought, when it says aviha o ba'la, maybe it's o, which means maybe it's or the father or the husband. And therefore, I wouldn't know necessarily from reading our Mishnah that it's a joint over here. I would say, if the father wants to do it, if the husband wants to do it. That's why the Mishnah has to come and tell you, no. You need both. And it speaks it out clearly. If the father did it without the husband, or the husband did it without the father, it's not going to be mufa. That's why you need the second part of the Mishnah. Now, you'll just ask a question. Let the Mishnah just say simple. Ne'aram urasah shenehem mefirim nedareah. Say clearly, both of them are mefer the nedir, so you can have no safek that it's both. So the Ran speaks out, because if it just would have said shinehem, I could have learned like this. Shinehem means that the husband and the arus, meaning if the arus is going to do it, he needs the help of the father. But if the father wants to do it, he can do it alone. I would say the opposite. That if the arus wants to do it, he could do it alone. But if the father wants to do it, he needs the help of the arus. Shinehem, I could learn, is only in one case that you need shenehem. And therefore the Mishnah has to come along and tell you, no, you need both of them in all cases. The father needs the arus, and the arus needs the father. So again, if the Mishnah just would have spoken out, shenehem mefirim, I would say in one case, shenehem mefirim. I would either say, either the father needs the husband, and therefore when the husband wants to make a farah, he needs the father to help him. But the father can do it alone. And then the Mishnah says, no, that's not so. The father can't do it alone, and the arus cannot do it alone as well. That's the hiddush of our Mishnah. Comes the Gemara and continues. Right? You don't have to tell me in a case where one of them was mekayim. So we have a situation where one of them was mekayim. That's say for argument's sake, the arus was mekayim, and the father was mefer. So of course the nedir is going to be kayam. Because we just learned, it's not nullified until both of them nullify. So Kol Sheken, when one was actually Nekim, and only one was Mefed, then that is going to be Chal. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. And the question is, Lama li lemitna? What do you need this to be stated for? Hashta yesh tomar hefer ze belo ze velo kelum. You just told me if one was mefer without the other, it doesn't mean anything. Kiyem ehad mehem. If one of them was actually mekayem, lama li tziricha lemitne? What do you have to say it for? Again, if one of them was mefer, it's not enough. And the neder is still hal, still valid. Kol shekem, and one was mekim, and one was mefer. Of course, the neder is going to be still valid. So the Gemara answers, ki itzterichle, it's a specific case, kegon dehefer ehad mehem. So one of them made hafara. Let's speak out together. The father made hafara, let's say. So you say, you have one, not enough. Vikiyim ehad, or aher. And then the arus was mekayim. Vehazar mekayim, and he retracted. Vinish'al al hakamato. He went to the rabbis, and you're able to reverse your hakama. Just like if a person makes a neder, right? You're able to absolve. So he was mekim the neder. Then he went to the rabbis, you know what? I changed my mind. Oh, ma'u detema. So I would have thought, my de'uki hai akre. I would say, whatever he did, he uprooted. And therefore, let him just make now a hafara, the second guy, combine it with the hafara of the first guy. And now you have both of them making hafara, and therefore the neder will be mufar. Kamash malam the mefirim shinehem bevat achat. That you have to be mefir simultaneously. Now, what does simultaneous mean? It means you're not allowed to have an interference in between, because in this case you have hafara on one side, so he's good, right? The second guy you have a hakama, a reversal, and then a hafara. No good. That hakama is interference in between. When it says you have to have hafara bevat achat, means you have to have nothing separating between the first hafara and the second hafara that would make it invalid. Here, temporarily, the hakama invalidates this hafara. Because one hafara alone is nothing. Ah, but he reversed it. Doesn't matter. Shnehem, you need to be bevat achat, which means you have to do it not simultaneously. I want to point that out, which means one can make the hafara in shahrit, and the other one can make the hafara in arabit. That's not what it means, shnehem. Which means it has to be without anything interfering to break the original hafara. When the first guy made the hafara, right? So if the second one would make hafara, bingo. I don't care if it's 10 hours later. Now you have two hafara, then neder is mufar. Here, you have hafara of number one. Hakama of number two. Right away, there's interference. This hafara is now weakened. Oh, but he reversed it. It doesn't matter. And not only did he reverse, and he made hafara. Like I said, you have two hafaras now. So now what do? So if we have an interesting machlok at Rishonim, what do you do now in this case? According to Haramban, the game's over. There is no, this neder cannot be mufar. There's no double jeopardy. Can't come back now, can't start again and make a hafara a second time together. No. He agrees that the hakama could be reversed, but it doesn't matter now. It's too late, because bottom line, you're not going to be able to make another hafara. The Ramban argues. The Ramban says no. All it means is that you cannot use the hafara after the reversal to combine with the first hafara. But if you both together come again and make a new hafara again, you'll have no problem. And that's the shita of the Ramban, and it seems like that's what the Ran holds as well. Now there's another question over here that the Ran asks, which we have to look at. The Ran has a she'elah like this. Let's say a person marries a lady. He makes a kiddushin. And he's mekadesh a lady al menat she'en aleha nedarim. You can do that. You can make a stipulation. I'm marrying you on the kiddushin. You have no nedarim. Okay, then it's found out she had nedarim. Okay, so there's no kiddushin. Because she didn't live up to the stipulation. Oh, but it says, let's say he gave the kiddushin. And there was nedarim on her. But she went to the hakam. And she got a hafara. Never, not hafara, hatara. They absolved her. So now the kiddushin is hal, because we know that hatara retroactively takes off the nedarim. So his maaseh kiddushin was hal, because he said amenat she'en aleha nedarim, and once retroactively you're absolved, so the kiddushin is hal. That's the law. So ask the Rashba a very strong question. Seemingly, when this lady over here, or what the arus, he made, let's say, hakama, in this case. He established the nedir, right? Then he reversed. Right? Then he went to the rabbi and he reversed it. Seemingly, the reversal should make it like it never happened. And therefore, why then is it considered an interference? Which, if you say the hakama never happened, so they've erased that from history. So now, lechara, all he has to do is make a hafara, and now it should join up with the first hafara. Now you have both of them being mifin, it should be mufar. Which is just like hatara, words retroactively. What's retroactively mean? It's like you never did it. It wasn't there. So then, why is the Gemara saying over here that when he makes a hakama, then makes a reversal, oh, there was an interference between the first hafara and the second hafara? No good. Lechara, let him retroactively destroy him. Which means the hakama, right? Make the hakama never happen. When he goes to the rabbi, right? He says, no, I didn't mean to make mikim. Okay, you aren't mikim. That's the mechanics of it. Also, that's the mechanics of it. So what do you say? But it's interfering. In history, it didn't interfere because the retroactive year uprooted it. So the Rano here gives a very, very nice answer in this subject. He says like this. This case of Kiddushin is much different. Because the case of Kiddushin, the guy did a ma'aseh, a bona fide action of Kiddushin. He gave a kiss of Kiddushin, which was no question on the ma'aseh Kiddushin. What was the only thing that was impending the Kiddushin or impeding the Kiddushin? This nedet business. Good. So when you have a full-fledged ma'aseh and you have a nedarim in the way, so since I retroactively got rid of the nedarim, so the ma'aseh Kiddushin, which was a strong ma'aseh, is hal. Here, what am I playing with? I'm playing with one hafara, trying to build on this one hafara to strengthen it, to make it a legitimate hafara, because hafara of one alone is very weak. Because again, the hafara alone can't do too much. You need the second guy's hafara as well. The mashal. If the first guy made hafara, the second guy died. It's nothing. His hafara is worthless, this first guy. You need both of them to make hafara. So therefore, on a weak action, like one hafara, even a little interference, albeit it can be retroactively nullified, but since you don't have a ma'aseh, you don't have anything, you don't have legs yet. So therefore, it's kalush, it's weak. Therefore, such a interference, even momentarily, where there was a hakama, and then you undid it, is not going to give the first hafara strength and legs. And therefore, it's going to be considered an interference. That's why it's not going to be hot. And that's the lesson of the last part of the Mishnah. But the last part of the Mishnah says, Ve'en sarich lomar shekiyem ehad mehem. So the hiddush over there is that what? No, in a case where one made hafara, one made hakama, reversed his hakama, hiddush is now this hafara that he makes at that point is not going to join up with the first guy. Right? Because bottom line, there was a interference in between. That I just asked the question, based on the hadush of the Gemara, this lashon of the Mishnah doesn't make too much sense anymore. Ve'en sarich lomar. What do you mean? Now we have a phenomenal hadush over here. The Ensarich lomar is mashma, you don't got to tell me, that's obvious. Well, lemaskanat Gemara, it is not obvious at all. And if that's what the Mishnah's point was, so he just says that the Ensarich lomar means like this. And I don't have to tell you a regular case. And therefore, you're going to have to tell me there's a chidush over here. Which means, I don't have to tell you a regular case where this guy made hafara, and this guy made hakama, that the nidr is still hal. That's obvious. Didn't I just tell you? If one was mefer and one did nothing, the nidr is still hal. Because she came where one was mefer and one was mekim, so certainly the nidr is going to be hal. I don't have to tell you that. And since I don't have to tell you that, right? So therefore, that case must be coming for a bigger hadush, not the obvious. And therefore the Mishnah Gemara is saying that it's not, because it was coming to somebody obvious, then the whole Mishnah doesn't make any sense. Then it is redundant. But since I have another hadush of that kama in between, so therefore I can tell you that. Because that's the summary of that piece. Now we really have to go look for a source. Now that we got some side questions out of the way, we need to know a biblical source. How do you know that a ne'ara mu'arasa, her father and her arus, together, break nedarim. Yeah, because I could have argued, I could tell you, listen, she's still in the father's domain until she gets married. And you know, maybe the arus has no rights, bichlal. Or maybe I could argue the other way. Once she becomes arusa, she's out of the father's possession, and let the arus do it alone. Which means, who told you this law that we're taking for granted, that a na'aram urasa aviyah uba'ala bishutafut mefirim nedareha? Now, to appreciate the next piece with Pesukim and things like that, you have to have a little awareness of the Parashah, Parashat Matot, where Parashat Nedarim is actually written. Now, in your art scrolls, I think it'll be advantageous in the Hagdama of the Pidik, right in the introduction, they do bring you down some of the Pisukim. So I think it's Kedai just to read the intro, Pisukim, just to know what's going on in the Parashah. וידבר משה אל ראשי המטות לבני ישראל לאמור, זה הדבר אשר סיבה השם. God spoke to the, Moshe spoke to the heads of tribes to teach them the word of God. איש כי ידו נדר להשם, God makes a נדר, או ישב השבועה, או makes a שבועה, לעשות יצר לנפשו, he binds himself, לא יאחל דברו, he cannot profane his word, יכול להיוצא מפיו ויעשה. ואישה, כי תדו נדר להשם, עשה יצא בבית אביה בן עוריה. Okay, so now we're talking about a case of a single girl. She makes a neder, bin oreha bet avia, when she's by her father. She's single, she makes a neder by her father. Veshama avia et didra, veesara asher asara al nafsha, veharish la avia. So what the father kept quiet? What do we learn about keeping quiet? Vekamu kol nedareha, vekol isara asher asara al nafsha, yakum. So that's considered a hakama, and therefore the nedarim will stand. Vimeni avia otav yom shum'o, but imheni, which means if he restrains her. Restraining means he made a hafara. Kol nedareha veesara asher asara al nafsha, lo yakum. Okay, the nedarim are not going to be honored. Good. So the first perasha, pasuk vav, specifically is talking about a single girl in her father's house. Next pasuk, ve'im hayot hiye leish. Now this is going to be the source pasuk of a na'ara mo'orasa. Okay, an engaged girl. How do you know this pasuk to an engaged girl? Well, wait for the Gemara how it methodically proves to us this is an engaged girl. But this is going to be it. Now it says ve'im. Now pay note, ve'im is a vav. We have a normal rule that whenever vav is obviously mosif on the subject that we just learned before. Now the subject we learned before is who's making the hafara? The father. So the style of the derasha, at least according to one version, is going to be, well, if this is being mosif, meaning in this case now, not only the father, but somebody else also has a share in this stake over here. And therefore, ve'im ayot yeh le'ish undare'ah, that she has nedarim. Now, interesting, it says undarea aleha. So from over here you see, like we learned in the Ran in the beginning of the Perek, she has the darim already on her. Didn't we learn in the beginning of the Perek that a arus is able to break nidarim, even the darim that were on her before she became an arusa? Which means even if she came into the engagement with nidarim, the arus has a right to mifidam with the partnership of the father. So let's say she made it. I'm just guessing. She made an nidar in the morning. She got engaged in the afternoon. But the point is, it says undareha aleha. The nidarim were on her already. Om v'shama isha b'yom shemol. Her husband heard now on the day, right? B'yom shemol, on the day that he heard it. V'harishla. Here it says b'yom shemol, and he kept quiet. So he kept quiet. We said it's considered like a hakama. V'kamu nidare v'esareha. Again, if the husband on the day that he hears it refrains her, they fed it the asher aleha, the tazda asher asera nafshav Hashem yisnachla. Good. Then the next pasuk is about neder almana ugrusha. What about a widow or making a neder or a divorcee? So she's free. She's her own lady. Pasuk yud aleph v'im bet isha nadara. Now we talk about the last case, a married lady. Not engaged in it, but she's married. And the husband heard it. He didn't refrain of it. Next pasuk, if he wants to revoke them, he has the ability to do that as well. So when it comes to a married lady, it's obvious from the Torah that the husband has full jurisdiction. Correct? Good. When it comes to a single girl in a father's house, it's clear that the father has full jurisdiction. What we're looking for is that middle stage. And the Adam Orasa, how do you know from these Pesukim that both the father and the husband have a joint over here? Okay, and I'm going to tell you it's going to be from the Pasuk of Im Hayot Tehiye Le'ish. We learned that that's the case of engagement. And the Vav is coming to be Mosif. And not only the father, which we're talking about in the Pasuk before, has rights, but now there's another guy that has rights now. What? That's the Arus. Okay, now let's start that inside. Gemara is going to ask a series of questions back and forth. Let's start. Gemara says,
Veneara morasa. Avia ubala mefirim nedarea minalan.
What's the biblical source for this halacha?
Amar. We're going to change that to Rava. Okay. Amar kera v'im hayo tihye le'ish. She gets engaged. That's why we're learning it. Undareha aleha. She has the darim. Mikan, the na'aram orasa shaviyah ba'ala mefirim nedareha. The Gemara speaks it out straight. So now the Gemara asks a series of questions. Hold it. Ve'ema hakera b'nisu'ah ketiv.
Maybe someone when she's married. How do you know v'im hayo tihye is talking about where she's engaged? Maybe v'im hayo tihye is talking about where she's married. How do you know?
So the Gemara says, "Im mishum nisu'ah kra harina ketiv."
We have another pasuk that talks about a married lady. We read it inside.
The im bet isha nadara. So the Gemara says, "Ema tarvayu b'nisu'ah."
Maybe both of them are talking about nisu'ah.
Now you ask the obvious question: what do I need two pasukim to tell me that when a lady is married, that her husband could be the only one can be mefir nedarim? V'chi tema tirek rei b'nisu'ah lamadi lememar. What do you need two pasukim to tell me nisu'ah? I'll tell you, she'en ha-ba'al mefir be'kodmim.
I'll tell you, you know what the hadush is? That by a married lady, the husband cannot be mefir alone the darim that were made before the nisu'in. So I need one pasuk just to tell me the husband has rights at nisu'in. And the second pasuk I need to tell me what? That you should know his rights are limited. Only on the darim going forward after the marriage. But kodmim, things that were done before the marriage, no. So that's what I needed to pasukim for.
So the Gemara says, V'lav memela shmat mina.
I can learn both hadushim from one pasuk. Which means, I can learn it from the pasuk that says, V'im bet isha nadara, undarea aleha. V'im bet isha nadara. Stop right there. She is made a neder when she was married. So it does not automatically tell me, number one, that the neder was made when she was married. Ve'im bet isha nadara. She made the neder when she was married. And what does it tell me also? That the husband is the one that is in charge of the nedarim. So I don't need two pesukim to teach me arusa. I don't need the pasuk of v'im hayot tehye le'ish, and plus v'im bet isha nadara. To teach me two pasukim of nisuin, and the first pasuk is going to teach me that nisuin, the husband's in charge, and then erusin, and then the by nisuin also talking about that he's not mefir bekodmin. What do I need two pasukim for? So you know what? Must be the pasuk of imayot yeliish is not talking about a nisuin, talking about an arusa, and the vav is coming to be musif. So tell me what? That by a arusa, the father and the arus are mefirim nedareha. So the Gemara methodically, through process of elimination, said the pasuk must be talking about an arusa. We tried to say no. Maybe somebody nisuah. Any two pasukim for nisuah? Yeah, maybe any two pasukim. Tell me nisuah of the father, husband. Plus the kodmin issue. When I need two pasukim, I can deduce all that from one pasuk. V'im bet isha nadara. If she made a neder when she was married, what? The husband is mefir. Can I learn two pasuk? It's not like I'm learning two things on one pasuk. It's befirush. So therefore, must be v'im hayot tehye le'ish. She's talking about a arusa to teach you that abia u'ba'ala mefirim nedareha. Now let's read this in the Ram. I spoke this outside, but it's kedai to read this inside. Ram. Go to Amud Rishon. Let's start from the bottom Ram. Musim in Aram orasa. Deavio Balam Fini Dare Aminalan Ama Rabba Markera Vimayoti Eli Ish Mikan and Aram or Asa Shavia Balam Fim de Ram, the Eli Dachikam. The Kibad Lenisua Ketiv Kraharina, since where we have a Pasuk Fenisua, the Hainu Imbet Ishanadara Kedafarishakaman Al Kurhin, Haibarusami Tukma, the Tre Karaebinisua Lamali. I don't need two Pasukim Fenisua. The kebab, the arusamit to come, since you're saying that the pasuk of imayoti is about an arusa, al kurhin itan lemar devab mosif alinyan rishon del elmi nekativ, that shem yisnacha kiheni avia ota. Right, the pasuk right before is talking about the father making hafara because she's single.
Ubatreketi vein beyom shemoa isha, yani ota lomar, sheavia ubala mefirim nedarea. Vatis chapir barusa.
And it makes sense to say to someone arusa,
dekeban de ba'arusa lo yatzta mirshut av.
Because if you think about it, the arusa really did not leave the father's jurisdiction.
Din hu de lo lefer arus lechode.
It makes sense that the arus should not be able to make hafara alone. So therefore, the law also makes logic.
Then he says, "Ve'al kurchin nameh ki itan nememar."
You have to tell me that by a na'ara me'urasa, the father still has rights. Why, says the Ran? Because if you're going to tell me by a na'ara me'urasa, the arus has all the rights, so then what do I need a pasuk by nisu'ah to tell me that the husband has the rights? If you tell me already he has rights from the arusa stage, do I need a pasuk to tell me that he has rights when she becomes a nisu'ah? Right?
So therefore he says, "De'id lo amrin al vav musifan nishon ve'arus le'odem mefir." If you tell me that the arus himself is able to be mefir by arusa, k'rad nisu'ah lamadi. Hashta be'arusin mefir le'odem v'nisu'in me'ba'ya. V'chi b'shvil shenas'ah.
Well, just because he married her, hora koho. Well, he becomes weakened now in his power. If he was able to mefir the darim when she was arusa, he's not going to become worse when she becomes a nisu'ah.
והדר מקשה לפירושי מלטה.
And then the Gemara asks, the Ran speaking out all the Shekla Metaria. The Gemara then asks, so מקשה,
אמה הדין קירה בנשואה כתיב?
No, maybe the person was talking about נשואה.
לומר, דבעל דחודה מפית.
Tell me, maybe the husband alone.
דבב מוסיף על עניין ראשון, לא אמנינן, אלא כי מוחה קירה אחרי. ואם מתוקם בארוסה מוחה, כדכתיב לה, אבל בנשואה לא מוחה כלל, אדרבה, תינאו דבעל דחודה מפית.
Which means, I have another option. Maybe I'll tell you the pasuk imayoti and ish is talking about a nisua. Now, if you tell me he's talking about a nisua, I don't have to learn this vav. This business of the vav, ve'im, that you know you connected to the thing before, the pasuk before, is only if you have no choice. So by an arusa, you have to connect it. You can't say the baal has hit alone, because otherwise we need the pasuk of nisua. So you're forced to learn the vav. But if I learn the pasuk by nisua, don't play with the vav. And just talk about a regular nisuah to tell me what the husband has full rights. But then the only question the Gemara was, what do I need to pesukim of nisuah? And the Gemara answered, I'll tell you what I need to pesukim for. One, to teach me that nisuah, the husband has full rights. And the second pasuk to say, only on the day that I made post-marriage, not pre. The Gemara's answer to that is, no, you don't need to pesukim for that. I can learn from one pasuk, in bet isha, nadara. Oh, so what's v'imayom must be talking about? Nara, morasa. Oh, and it says ve'im hayotie, and oh vav mosif, just like the father has rights when she's single, the father also has rights when she is arusa, and the arus also kicks in. So that's the source. Back to the Gemara. I spoke all that out now to you in the rest of the nonsense.
Ve'ibayet ema,
the Gemara gives another answer. You know how I know that pasuk ve'im hayotie le'ish is talking about a arusa?
Dehavaya kiddushin mashma.
We've seen this before. The language hayotihye, that in the Gemara's language, like havaya, that language is an irusin language. It's not a nisuin language per se. It's an irusin language. That's the way the Torah refers to a lady getting engaged. So therefore, just read the pasuk. V'im hayotiye lishi. Now, how I know it's not talking about a nisu'ah? From the words, hayotiye. Hayotiye implies irusin. And therefore, go back to the, what's the notes irusin? Vav mosif. Aviyah ba'ala. Comes the Ran and he asks the question. He said, I'll show you from a Gemara Yevamot. And we learned that the word havaya or hayeta can also be referring to a nisua. Where do we see that? So let's remember. Remember we were learning about a law of a kohen that is not allowed to be metameh. Okay? Only to the seven relatives. Right? The seven relatives. So the Gemara said that he is allowed to become tameh. To his, well, the Torah says, La hoto habetula. Asher lo hayeta leish. Hayeta. The Gemara learned hayeta means that she was not married. Because if she was only engaged to his sister, and then she dies, he is metameh. The only one that a Kohen is not metameh to the sister is if the sister was married. But if she was engaged and she dies, he is metameh. How did they learn that from? These are talking about the people that he can be metameh. Bila achoto habetula asher lo hayeta leish. There they're learning hayeta that she was not married. But if she was only engaged, then he can metameh. So go back over here. Maybe the pasuk is teaching you of him hayoti leish is both. Maybe it's talking about an engaged lady and a married lady. Tell me what? That both the husband and the father have rights under the darim. Says the Ran, that's impossible. It makes no sense to say that a nisu'ah, the father still has rights. She left the father's domain. Does it make sense to learn this pasuk that what both in arusa and in nisu'ah, she shared while the father and the husband for the darim? It doesn't make any sense to say such a thing. Therefore, you have to go from the logic as well that the pasuk cannot be mitukam v'imayot teyeh b'yei nisu'ah. Even though sometimes you see v'hayetak referring to a nisu'ah. But in this pasuk, it's more logical, like we said, to swear an arusa only, and to teach me what? That aviyah u'ba'la mefirim nedara. So basically what the Gemara proved until this point is that the pasuk is referring to an aram or asa. Comes Gemara and asks, "Ema av lehude mefer? Who told you?" Which means like this. Maybe I agree. It's talking about an aram or asa, that pasuk. I don't argue, but you know, maybe the pasuk is telling me like this. Really, an aram or asa. My premise is she's still by the father's domain. Till you get married, you're the father's property, so to speak. And therefore, I'll tell you, you know what? Even an aram or asa, advantage, father. Also, so what is the pasuk giving the husband or the arus over power? The only power the arus has maybe is hakama powers. He doesn't have the power to be mefer, but maybe he has the power to mekim. I mean, just if he comes along and says, it's like he has a power to block, but he doesn't have a power to uproot, to nullify. Which means the nullifying power, that goes to the father. The Torah is giving, and he has some power. Darus has power if he wants to be mekim. But to be mefer, he doesn't have the ability. Which means, if the husband, if the arus was mefer, his afara is the nothing. He needs the father in conjunction, right? But the father doesn't need the arus. Maybe that's what the pasuk says. So maybe the arus is weaker than the. Let's read that in Ran. This question, right? Let's read the Ran. Emma. It's like the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines, and they get wide. Emma av lechude lefar. Nireli da av lechude lefar u dekasha dekevan de lo yatzdam reshutav kedechetiv na le'el. Since, listen, she's arusa, she really didn't leave the father's jurisdiction. Bedinu de matze mefar. He should really have the rights to nullify. Aval arus lo. V'simichuta v'imayot teyeh haynu lomar da'arus ba'e av. It's just coming to tell me that for hafara, the arus needs the father. V'arus techatav rachman lomar shimekim ukam k'rim v'samuk aleha da'av. V'afagav dechtiv aleha v'imayot teyeh le'ish v'im b'yom shumo isha yani otav v'feret nidra. Oh, if you remember, we looked at the pesukim there. It also says that if the arus is mefer, it's hufar, which is mashma that he also has hefer rights. So the Ran says, "Lav lememed hafarato to'il klal, ela shim lo hefer biyom shum'o nimsa shehekim." Which means all it's saying is that if he didn't make hafara on the day that he heard it, so automatically it's like a hakama. Delachi bilhudu du'ukme b'reshuta da'arus, which means that for that only the arus has power. Velav lemidi ahar dekevan de lo yatzdam reshutav en lecha zechut be'arus el apot shebeshe'udim. We give him the minimum power. What's the minimum power? Hakama. So when the pasuk says that if he's mefer, we're just trying to show you that the law of hafara is dafka on the day. But if he kept quiet on the day, it's an automatic hakama. But that's the only power that he has. Maybe that's pshat. So comes Gibran says, no, can't be. In Ken, if that's the case, Vasera Isar Bet Abiha. Some take out the word Geniota. Lamali, what do I need you that pasuk for? Now that pasuk is talking about when she's single. Now let's speak out ourselves. What does the Torah tell me when she's single? Who has rights to the Nedarim? The father alone, to make Afara. If you're telling me that when she's arusa, the father has exclusive rights. Do you need to tell me when she's single, the father has exclusive rights? Kal v'chomer. Now you made this, the pasuk of when she's single, superfluous. And by an arusa, Right? The father has the exclusivity. So of course again, when she's a pirandi, Gemara speaks that out.
Ashta yesh tomar bimkom arus mefer av lehude. Shelo bimkom arus mebaya.
So that can't be an option as well, because now you're making the pinuya pasuk superfluous. Yeah?
Gemara says, no.
Emma, maybe I'll tell you like this.
Emma av de arus, ve arus lehude mefar.
Now the Gemara makes a 180 degree reversal in Sebarot. The Gemara says, okay, I'll go the other way now. Maybe the Arus can do it alone. If the Arus wants to make Hafara, it's his call. And maybe what the Pasuk is just coming to tell you, that the father needs the Arus. If the father wants to make Hafara, he's got to have the partnership with the Arus. But the Arus can do everything alone. Maybe it's the opposite. But again, we're just trying to break the Limud. Our limud is going to be, you need both of them. So the Gemara is looking at any other option to make that a viable option, so you don't learn the, you know, our point. So go the other way now. Maybe I'll tell you the exact opposite. That what? That maybe it's the Arusa's call. Once he leaves the, you know, the, once he gets engaged, it's his call. And what? But if the father wants to get involved, the father has rights, but only b'shutafut shela, shelabal.
Look at the Ran. The Ran says, Emma, let's start from that one. Emma, Ibaye Arus, Aval Arus Lehode Lefar, Mechi Hazad, Maidis Likadate Mikara Denara Murasalu Yatstaklam Rashuta, Leta, the Alkorhin Kishnetarasa, Abu Lehode Lomitsimifar, Mapich Lele Pirche.
That's the Vara that we said till now, that when a girl gets engaged, she's still in the father's jurisdiction. We're mapich that sevara now. We're saying something now totally opposite. Now we're going to go with the logic. Now, when she's engaged, she's the husband. She's the arusis. And what? The arus don't need anybody. He can work alone, but he needs the father needs him, right?
The kevan sheken atraba. Now go the other way. Mashmata dekra the arus ikar.
Now make the arus ikar
ve'av tafelo. Now. Right?
And now you understand. And the Pesukim make a little more sense, because that's what it tried to tell me. The father only has rights when she's single. To point that out to me. When she's single, he has rights. But once she gets engaged, the father loses his rights. That's why Dafka Pinuya, the father's in charge, but not by
Arusa. Michlal de la Hachin Arusa, implying that after she becomes an Arusa, Nafkalam Rishute, the Keva, the Katakra Beheja de Arus Mefer, Mashma del Hode Mefer, the Shutfute de Abdelete Ela Mishum Vav Mosifra Nanishon,
Mistake. What's the proof? The Vav, the Im Hayo, is putting the father in play. Now what? Don't think the father, when she gets engaged, has no power. No, the father is still around. Legabe what? Legabe, that he has power so long as the Baal is with him. But really the Baal is able to be mefer alone. But if the father wants to be mefer, he's got to get the
shutafut of the arus. אם הוא כמעט לא מה שהיא מקים, הוא קם דוודאי פשטן דקרא משהו דארוס לחודה לפר. אלא דולו מצינו למד לא שייך אב ונדרי ארוסה, אלא ארוס. תיאחה, הפרת אב דכתב רחמנה, למה לי? וכיוון שכן, כל עקד מוקמת ללאב, במידי סגי לב ונוקמה, כדי אם הקים הוא קם.
Right, which means, I'm going to come and tell me that if the father, whatever I said, I'm going to say better now. Whatever I just said by the ארוס, I'm going to say it by the father now. The father has hakama rights. Right? We're limiting his rights. He has rights to be mekim, but he doesn't have rights to be mefir. Okay, maybe all the rights of hafara belong to the arus. Right, that's what we're saying now. So the Gemara says can't be. And let's speak it out ourselves. We know the question is going to be. Then what do you have to tell me when she's married? The arus has all the husband has all the rights. He has all the rights already when she was engaged. Now already the marriage pasuk doesn't make any sense.
And the Gemara speaks that out. The Gemara says, "V'chi tema av de katav rachmana lamali."
And what's the purpose of this, including the father? Mivayli leim hakim. To tell me that he has hakama rights only. Imken beti shana dara demai katav. What do you tell me? Beti shana dara.
Kavahomer. Uma bimkom av.
And what when the father still has some sort of rights? For example, when she's an arusa, still arus mifil le'odeh, the arusa has all the rights. Shelobim kum av, when she's married, where the father lost all his rights. Mibayad, you have to come and tell me? So therefore, that option also doesn't work as well. Because I don't need a pasuk to come and tell me that when she's arusa, the arusa has all the rights of hafara. And then you tell me, what? And you should have to get married. But the husband has all the rights. So then die. He had the rights already when she was arusa. So therefore, that cannot make sense as well. So the Gemara tries one more angle to try to, you know, break the derasha. And then the Gemara is going to come along and say, Ela what? You have a final proof that the deen is emet. And what's the last twist? So the Gemara says, Ema im bet isha nadara, lomar she'ena ba'al mefir bekodmim. Which means, I'll tell you like this. The pasuk of im hayoti yeli'i, she's talking about a na'ara me'orasa like we learned. And you know what it's telling me? Advantage all goes to the ba'al, to the arus. Good. Also, we said that we need the pasuk of im bet isha nadara. No. I need the im bet isha nadara pasuk not to teach me that he has full rights when she's married. I know that already he had full rights from arusa. I need the marriage pasuk to tell me that when it comes to marriage, he only has rights on the darim going forward, not on the pre. That's hadush already. Like the pasuk says, v'im bet isha nadara. She has to make the darim dafka in the house, but stuff before, no, so therefore everything's fine. Don't tell me you don't need the second pasuk of v'im bet isha. I need it to teach me an auxiliary hadush the before. Oh, so now comes the Gemara and says, wait, it can't be that. Not going to work. Why? Umine arus mefer bekodmin. You're going to learn from there what? What's the diuk? That a nisua, when he's married, he cannot be mefer bekodmin. Right? But an arusa can. That would be the implication. Right? Nasui, he cannot break the darim from before. But an arusa or an arus can break the darim bekodmi. Now that doesn't make any sense. What, you're going to tell me what? The married man has less power than the arus? Tell me the arus can go on stuff before. But the nasui cannot? Which is, if you're going to learn it like that, it makes no sense. And that's what Gemara says. Umine. Which means from that place where you're coming to ask a question, right? So you're coming to tell me what? Adrabat. You're coming to tell me that arus mefer bekodmim. And by the way, we know that, by the way. That I want to point out, that is true, by the way. The arus does have rights to be mefer bekodmim. That is a law, because by the arusa, what does it say? It says, undareha aleha. So we know that rule, by the way. But wait, once you're telling me that he's able to be mefir nedarim that already are on her, how could you tell me that the father has no rights? Does that make any sense? No, that the father has no rights. Aren't we at this stage over here that we want to say that when it comes to arusa, it's the baal? I'm giving you the whole logic again. It's the baal. Oh, if it's the baal, what do you got to tell me nisu'a for? If he has rights already exclusively by Arusa, of course he came by Nisua. Oh, and the Nisua is totally different Hadush. That what? He has ability only going forward, not on Kodmin. Okay, implying. So the Gemara says, from what you just said, you disproved yourself. Ubine, from your statement just now, you broke your whole logic. Why? Because if you're telling me that by Nisua it's only going forward, that implies what? And it's true. That implies what? That by Arusa he can even break the Nidarim of before. Now, if you tell me he can break the dream before, obviously it's got to be with the father's tutafut. Because it doesn't make sense that on the dream that were made under the father's jurisdiction, that what, only the baal is going to be able to be nefer. Does that make any sense? Of course not. They were made in the father's jurisdiction. And she really didn't leave in totality the father's jurisdiction yet. And they're like, thank you. Exactly for what you're telling me, you prove my point. That a na'ara me'orasa, it's not the husband, the arus exclusively. It's got to be a shutafut. And therefore, ela lav mishum shutafut. Ela must be because of the partnership. And that's a fine point. I'm going to speak it out one last time. Save your clarity. Again, all the Gemara at this point was trying to do is, we know the bottom line, we know the result. The result is, that's the bottom line. It's got to be a partnership to make a farah. But as the Gemara tries to crystallize things, it's going to give me every other possible option to learn that pasuk, not like the maskana, and show me why I can't learn one of those other options, and back me into a corner where I'm forced to say, the pasuk must be talking about a na'aram or asa, and avia ba'alam efinim etadeh. And that's what it successfully does. The last stage of it was, you know what, maybe I'll tell you, imayot tiyeh le'ish. It's talking about a lady that's me'urasa. She's engaged. No problem. I have no problem with that. One ayot. Yeah, however you want. I got no problem. But maybe I'll tell you logic like this. Maybe the Torah is going so far to tell me that an engaged lady, she's in the jurisdiction of her husband. Solely. But you can't tell me solely because I'm a ve'im hayot. The father has to have some. Yeah, the father has the minimal rights that you can give him. Hakama rights. If he comes along and says, I'm mikim, he has rights to block. But he has no rights to be mefer alone, which means it's really the husband's call. Okay, very nice, right? It's the husband's call. So the Gemara says, you're telling me that the husband has full rights by arusa? Let's go to the next pasuk. Ve'im bet isha nadara, if she made it, that when she was married, husband, vaday. Already the husband was working solely at the time of the engagement. At the time he's working solely at the time of the marriage. No, I can answer that also. That pasuk is just telling me that in the marriage he only is working on nedarim from the marriage on. But he cannot work on stuff earlier. So the Gemara says, good, I agree to that. That's a true hadush part. That's a fact. But listen to what you're saying. From the implication of what you just said, you broke your whole logic. Because you're telling me that on marriage it goes on nedarim going forward. Mashba that on Irusin, he can even go on stuff before. Stuff before the marriage. So it's before the Irusin. Hold it. How could he break stuff on stuff before the Irusin? Stuff before the Irusin, that was the father's possession and jurisdiction. And even now that she's engaged, she didn't leave the father's jurisdiction in totality. Ela wat? Thank you very much. You're working with a shoot foot. Good. So now must be that we're back to square one. That aviyah ubala mifirim nedareham. It's got to be done with a shutafut, and therefore proof positive. So somebody would ask you, the source, v'im hayo tiye le'ish, if she, the second pasuk, right? The first pasuk was pinuyah. That's that. Third pasuk is married. Middle pasuk, im hayo tiye le'ish undareha aleha. And since it says im hayo tiye, we're learning that it's got to be talking about an arusa. And ve'im hayo is coming to tell me, well, the father's still connected, and what? That aviyah, not that one is stronger than the other. Both have equal, right? Meaning, if the father is mefer and the arus not, or the arus is mefer and the father not, no deal, the neder is there. To mefer, both have equal right, both have to nullify. And then we learned the Hadush and the Mishnah, just to conclude, not only do they have to both nullify, but they have to both nullify on the same day, without any interference in between. Kegon, what was the case of interference we learned today? Where person number one was Mefer, he's good. The second guy was Mekim, retracted, and then made Hafara. No good. Why would he? Because your hakama broke the chain. Because at the time of the hakama, this hafara now is worthless. But I undid it. Too late. Now, we learned machlokes rishonim between Rambam and Ramban. Could you rehash it or not? Rambam says no. Ramban says yes.